Well, it's good to be with you again as God's people. As we know, that's going to be more and more important as we look at the days ahead and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, okay? And especially, it says, can anyone finish that? As we see the day approaching, okay? We have designated this month to Prophecy Month, and we feel that it's that important in the times that we're living in that we spend some time looking at Bible prophecy. Now, I will be open that I have heard a lot of different comments about how people view studying prophecy, even within this church, okay? And those comments are certainly comments that I believe in the hearts of people make a difference in the way we live, okay? And I just want you to know that as we look at some things in Scripture about prophecy, that first of all, I am not a prophet, do not claim to be, but I want you to know that God left plenty of prophecies in His Word for us to be looking at, and there is a purpose for them. And it is important for us to understand that we do need to have an understanding of prophecy, Old Testament, New Testament. If you don't want to study the Old Testament, you will never fully understand the New Testament, and that's just a fact, okay? But today's lesson, I have titled The Days Ahead, Comfort or Despair. Comfort or Despair. Are you going to be comforted? Are you going to be in desperation? Okay? I certainly do not want us to be in despair because of what we're going to look at today. And as we go along, I hope we're able to understand, regardless of what's going on in our world today, and there's a lot, we would all agree. There's so many things that we are not sure what to believe anymore. We talk about the pandemic. We hear both sides, the vaccinations, the non-vaccinations, the struggles, the fights, the disagreements, the stirring of people. All I can say to you is this for sure. We may not always know what to believe because the truth is getting harder and harder to discern in many areas of life. But I do know one thing you can believe, and that is you can believe in what Jesus says. Okay? And really that's all I'm interested in is what He has to say. Okay? But in the midst of that, I want us to open our Bibles today. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And is it possible to turn the lights up a little brighter, Allison? As you get old, you need more lighting. At least that tells you where I'm at, okay? All right, so let's turn to Matthew 24 today with your Bible. And we, as you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background on this. Jesus was getting very close to the time when He was going to leave this world. He was going to sacrifice Himself for anyone that was willing to accept the gift that He offered, okay? And it was getting close, and He had spent a lot of time with His disciples, with the crowds around Him in different areas and doing different things and watching Jesus perform all the things that He did and say all the things that He did, but it was getting close to the end. And you know, I've noticed as people get towards the end of their life, their personal time becomes more important to us. You know, we just kind of take each other for granted. We're all healthy and we're all moving along. But as if we realize that someone is about to pass, sometimes we feel urgency to go and speak to them because we know our time is short. Here the disciples went with Jesus up onto the Mount of Olives. And they had some private time with him. And they began to ask questions. Sometimes this is referred to as the Olivet Discourse. A discourse basically is just an address when you're addressing someone. And there's several different accounts of this, okay? But Matthew is the one we're going to be looking at today. And if you'll begin with me, because of time, we're going to have to move along pretty quick, and I don't want to go over a lot, but we'll move along fairly quickly, and if I have to cover it in at a later message, I will. But let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple." Now, I want to stop there for a moment. So as they were going into Jerusalem or going out of Jerusalem, they were wanting Jesus to really see this magnificent structure that had been built. It was impressive. It was very impressive. If we could have seen it in its original form, we would have been impressed too. This thing was massive. It was approximately 1,550,000 estimated square feet. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a big structure. The stones that were used to build this structure were so perfectly cut that there was no such thing as filler in between the cracks. Part of it is still in Jerusalem today. We call it the Weeping Wall. Okay? And it's unbelievable. It's massive. But some of the stones that were used there weighed up to 600 tons. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't even know a modern-day excavator that'll pick that stone up. How they did it, I have no idea, okay? But it was huge. And these stones were a magnificent white color. And guess what? They were lined, and some of them were even covered in gold. It said it was so bright that if it was a sunny day and you came into Jerusalem, that you couldn't stand to look at it, for it would hurt your eyes. It was that bright. It was a city on a hill. Okay? It was a fortress. When Herod was in power, he is the one that helped construct it and put it together. Okay? And it was a magnificent structure. The Jewish people were very, very impressed and proud of it. Look at this building. You know, you can go to places today in the world and see some of the churches. They're just incredible. You can drive into some towns and some of the churches are just unbelievably big. Cathedral-type churches. And so, what was interesting then, it said they came to show him. They wanted to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus' response really shook them. Verse 2, "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another. That shall not be thrown down.'" What a shocking statement to those disciples. "Are you telling me that this building's going to be destroyed? Look at it. It's magnificent. It's huge." But Jesus wanted them to understand the things of this world are going to pass. And I want you to understand and me to understand. This world is going to come to a close. And Jesus wanted them to be prepared. And I want you to know something. As we think about prophecy a little bit, if you are one that would rather not hear about prophecy, let's just look at some of the reasons we should. These are not my words. This is what the Bible says. Revelation 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." If you want to be blessed and blessed more and more in the days ahead and the things that we are looking at as God's people, you better read the prophecies in this book because it will bless you. If you want a blessing, read this book. And then, in back a little ways, in Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written in it, for the time is near." So Jesus wanted them to understand some things that were going to happen ahead. So I want you to know if it was important to Jesus to tell some of the things that were going to happen in the future. It's important for us to see what it has to say to us about the future, okay? But he says here, we'll just move along, in verse 3. Okay, so he's going to move into some explanation of some questions and answer some questions they had. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" They had three questions. Okay, when will these things be? In other words, when will they happen? Do you ever get anxious about the future? I do, and I have. You know, I just want to know what's going to happen. They were concerned. If that temple is going to be destroyed, when? You know, we want more information. And he said here, it says in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them," pay careful attention to this verse because this is going to be right through the whole passage. "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now he's going to mention a lot of events that are going to happen. And as he begins to answer and give explanation to some of the questions that his disciples had, the one thing that's more important than anything, I'm going to tell you some things that are going to happen that I'm going to do. But the most important thing I want you to remember is be careful that no one deceives you. Obviously, he knew that that was going to happen. And if you look around today, one of the biggest dangers we face is deception. I really believe that. Satan is using deception as a mighty tool to destroy and discourage the lives of people. He wants to leave us and get us in such a hopeless state and fear everything that's going on in our world so much that we are totally neutralized for the gospel. But he said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So that's the first thing he said. He didn't talk about the other things first. This was the first thing. And through this passage of Matthew 24, one thing I want you to know just as a fact is that he mentions deception more than any other thing in this passage. That tells you how important it is. It says then as we move on, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." There it goes again. Deception. Do you see deception going on in the world today? I want you to know you don't have to look very far. There's deception on every front. But I want you to know there's a huge, huge religious deception that's happening in our world today. We see the money preachers that are bringing in millions of dollars in the name of Jesus. They're preaching in the name of Jesus. They're doing all these things in the name of Jesus while bringing in millions of dollars. Talk about deception. It's happening all over the place. Okay? And when we look at the things that people are saying now in the religious world, I want you to know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Pope has just said recently, I want you to know, if you come from a Catholic background, I'm not here to offend you, but I just want you to know it's important that you know the truth. But the Pope has just said, if you do not believe what I say, you are of Satan. How do you like that? Now, that's pretty blunt. That's realistic, and that's what's happening in our world today. And I want you to know it's going to happen more and more and more and more. Be careful who you are. Listen to. Be careful. And that's what he told his disciples here. And it says, he goes on, and then he moves on into, and here's some of the things that you're going to see happening. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But then he says, but, what does he say? The end is not yet. Because see, they asked the question, when will the end come, basically, is what they're saying. But he says, you're going to see all of these things. That's just going to happen. Let me tell you, do you think we're seeing any of these things today? Of course we are. And we're going to read in a moment how these things are going to progress. They're going to start slow. Then they're going to get more intense and more intense. And we better be ready. Be ready and stay ready. And it says here, in 7, for nation will rise against nation. Do you see that happening today? Just turn on the news. It is country against North Korea against South Korea, Russia, China, Taiwan, you name it. The U.S., Israel, the Taliban, it's all over. We see it everywhere. Guess what? Jesus said it was going to happen, and it is. Okay? And then it says they will rise, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. We seeing any of that? What a summer for famines. What a summer for drought. I know firsthand, and a lot of you do. I hear a lot of talk in the world of a major water shortage. Did you know that in the U.S. right now, Costco and many stores will give you only allow you 1 gallon of water? That's it. You can't go and buy more. Big concern. The Colorado River is drying up. Lake Mead behind the Hoover Dam is down an immense amount of depth. Things are drying up, folks. Things are happening just as God said. Okay? I don't know if you're comforted yet, okay? But let's look. Then it says, verse 8, all these things are the beginning. What we're seeing today is not what's referred to as the Great Tribulation. Listen, Jesus said we're going to always face trials and tribulations. That's what he said, okay? But we are not into the Great Tribulation yet, okay? It's going to get worse, okay? And that's what he's saying. But I want to read something to you that goes right along with verse 8. Just got to remember where it is here. Let me just see, make sure I can find it here. I believe it's John 16, 21. Okay. So along with this, if you have your Bibles, if you want to just listen as I read it, along with this where he's talking about the beginning of sorrows, if we look in another place in John 16, chapter 21, it says here, a woman when she is in labor has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. We talk about abortion. There should be joy when a child is born. Not plan to murder the child before it's even born. And right up to some cases of right in the birth canal. But the point is, what he's saying here, and you ladies that have given birth know exactly and way more about it than I do. Okay? The contractions start. Now, I've watch my wife go through the process a few times. And I want you to know it starts out, you know, a contraction. Ah, Kurt, I think I had a contraction. Oh, wow. Wow, something's going to happen. And then, I'm having more. Oh, that tells me that things are really happening now. And then, I think we better head to the hospital. But as you go through the process in the delivery room, I must say I was not one of those men that necessarily enjoyed it. Why? Because I couldn't stand to see my wife in all that pain and agony. Okay? It looked horrendous to me, and I want you to know, ladies, if it was left up to the men to have the kid, I don't think we'd exist. We couldn't stand that kind of pain. I don't think so. But what's interesting, when the child comes and the child is delivered, what's amazing, it seems to me what it's saying here is we forget all about the things they went through, or we went through, or the ladies went through specifically to get that child into the world. That's what he's saying here. These are the beginning of sorrows. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And if you look around today, are you seeing more volcanoes, more wars, more pestilence? You just name it. It's a huge list, okay? It's going on and on and on. Oh, but I don't want to hear about it. Well, you know, that's up to you. It really is your choice. But it doesn't change anything in the fact you're going to face it. I would rather warn people and have them be ready than be responsible for not saying anything. I would much rather do that. And it says here then, as we move on, then they will deliver you up in tribulation and do what? Kill you. Looking forward to that? Is anybody comforted here yet? Okay, let's move on. They will kill you and you will be hated by all nations for what? For my name's sake. If you're a Christian and you will testify to being a Christian, and if you do it today in places of business, in different places, even friend people you think are somewhat friends or really friends, you'll find out that will be a division. And it will draw the line, and we'll go no further in our friendship. In fact, to the point that the world is getting to the place that it would be like if they had the option, they would cut the tongue out of every Christian. They don't want to hear from us. They have a narrative. The word you want to remember in the days ahead is narrative, in the sense that these people have a narrative and they want to hear nothing opposite to their narrative. Have you noticed that? They don't want to hear no discussion anymore. They don't want to hear any explanation anymore but their own. And that is going to get to be the case more and more and more and more. Okay? Okay, and then we move on. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Who's he talking about? Not Christians. No? If you don't think so, look around. It's happening all the time. Doesn't that concern you? Really? When we're looking for things to degrade other believers, you know what we need to do? We need to get on our knees and say, God, help me with my heart problem. I need you to help me in my whole attitude. God, I need you to help me on the things that I'm doing that's detrimental to your work and your gospel. Yes, he said it's going to happen. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many false prophets. That tells me and you, we better be watching on every corner. Be awake, be alert. Wake up, church. Satan's alive and well. And I want you to know, if you can be deceived by some of the preachers that we have nowadays, preaching and telling lies and spewing lie and mixing error with truth, if you can be deceived by them, Wait until the real deceiver shows up. You have no chance. So what are we going to do about it? Be in God's word. That is your only hope. The only hope of not being deceived. Okay? And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Did you know it happened a long time ago? A very similar story. And I want you to know something about prophecy. Many prophecies have two components. One for then and one for future. Did you know that? When you think about Noah and the ark, just think about it. The Bible says that it got so bad that every thought of man was wicked. That's pretty bad. Okay? And God said, I'm going to send a boat. I'm going to have Noah build a boat. And he was laughed at for many years. Today, the world is beginning to laugh at the return of Jesus. What a joke. They're putting their faith in other things. Okay? But then the rains begin to come. And all of a sudden, they realize we got a problem. But here's the really sad part. God closed the door and sealed it. And it was too late. There was no return. That day is coming again. And it says, but those who endure to the end will be saved. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. At some point, the gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the earth. Today is the only period that we know of that that's even possible. With satellite, all the things we have to spread the gospel, at some point that's going to happen. And it will be a witness to all nations, okay? But Jesus gave this explanation. I'm going to have to wrap up. Time is going by quickly. But I want us to finish with a few verses. First of all, I'm going to go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a few verses there and then a couple other, and we'll close, okay? In Psalms chapter 2, when we get worried about all the things that we see the government planning, how they're going to control us, how these globalists, these aren't conspiracies anymore, folks. What used to be a conspiracy now is a reality. There are globalists believe that they need to control every move that every one of us make. Okay? But here I want you to know, if you look in Psalms chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 to 3, it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot? A vain thing. It's not going to work out for them anyway. The king of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. You see that happening today in our world? You know, all the getting together of these globalists. We're going to set the stage the way we want the world to be, the Great Reset. But he says, they counsel together to do what? To go against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. They want to destroy any opposition besides their narrative. That's what he's saying here. But look what happens. In verse 4 it says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. They think they're in control. What a joke. Okay? And then it says, the Lord shall hold them in derision. They will get so confused in what they're doing at some point, they don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you what, we don't have to look at some of our leaders very long to already see they're in derision. Okay? I don't want us to be there. Okay. Now, I just for a minute, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, if you want to go there with me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18. It says, after all these things that he's talked about, he's talking about the time when Jesus is coming back for his people. We refer to it as the rapture. Okay? So when we see all of these things happening, what are you and I to do? We are to hold true to his word and keep spreading the gospel and do not be afraid. Don't let fear overcome you. Because God is on your side, and he is going to come back for his people. And he has just told them to take comfort because he's coming back for them. And the last verse of that chapter says, Therefore, comfort one another with these words, the words of him coming back for you and me. Now, one of the things that concerns me a lot is the things that we see happening in our present day, and that is a lot of people who are turning their back on the gospel, leaving the church. It's too hard. The load is too big. I just can't handle it anymore. If you can't handle this, get ready. You won't have a leg to stand on. Am I trying to scare you? No. But I want to encourage you to stick with Jesus. Read his word. Know what's coming. What to do about it. And love each other as people as we need to, as God's people. That's the evidence to the world that we're his. If we show them that we love one another. And then, in closing, we're going to be looking at prophecy for this month. Here's our goal. Our goal is to help each one of us understand where we kind of are in the season that we're in. You see, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. We know that. But he says you can know the times and the seasons. What season are we in? Okay. If we had time to go through the rest of this chapter, it would refer to when you see the fig tree blooming and beginning to come to the place where Israel is today. The fig tree is referring to Israel. And we may look at that in the next few Sundays, okay? But I want you to know that Israel, simply put, is God's time clock. If you want to know where we're at in God's timetable and all of that, there are many things we can watch as far as the things that are going on with Israel, around Israel, and those kind of things. But most people don't look at it. The news don't talk about it a lot. They don't want you to know about it. But there's some major things happening in and around Jerusalem today that would indicate to us there's some pretty serious things about to happen that was prophesied well over 2,000 years ago. I don't know any other book that you can trust in that much but this one, okay? But I want to encourage you. I want to leave you on an encouraging note. He said to comfort one another. One another. Me and you need to encourage and comfort one another. Not, oh, this is happening. Oh, it's terrible. I hear it all the time. Oh, look what's happening. Yeah, it's going to happen. If you think the world's going back to the way it was, I want you to know it's not. It's not. Some people have called me a fortune teller for saying these kind of things. All right, that's fine. I'm not a fortune teller. I know that's what God's word says. Okay, but he is coming back for us no matter what happens. Go ahead and live your lives. Get up tomorrow morning and ask God, what can I do to share the gospel with someone today? We can do that wherever we are, whatever job we have, the people we know. Take opportunity to build that relationship and ask God to give you an opportunity for them to ask you of the hope that lies within you. You see, if we as Christians run around telling everybody, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. It's just awful. I don't know where we're headed. I don't know what we're going to do. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? They're saying, they're no more comforted than I am. They're just in much despair as we are. They don't have any answers. Let's wake up together. Okay? Let's do it together as God's people. Let's look forward and not look back. He said, if you look back, you know what? If you look back, you're not worthy to be called one of mine. All right? We got to look ahead, know what Jesus has in store, and be encouraged. Guess what? He is coming to get us, and he will never give us more than we can handle. He will never leave us or forsake us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you had men write your word for us. We thank you for all of the prophecies that were written throughout Scripture, that you and I would understand that we can put our trust in your word. The things that you said were going to happen, many of them have already happened. And God, we know that the ones that haven't will, because you're true to your word and you're true to your promises. And God, help us to be comforted in the days ahead, when all the pressures of this world and the events and the things going on around us, we can still be calm and know that you have us and that we cannot be separated from you. We take comfort in that. Help us to not be despaired, God, but to look forward to your return. But in the meantime, God, we know that we have a great commission to fulfill, and that's to share the gospel to those. Otherwise, we know what they're facing. And may it break our hearts to even think about it. May we take it serious. May it not be a joke. And make it clear that you are coming soon. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.